real easy to get into. In fact, it's very tricky. You've got to be very precise to work the combination just right. If you don't know the combination, you could never get at the contents. Sometimes we speak of the things of God as though they're very simple and easily understood. But in reality, there is no mystery so great and so profoundly foreign to the natural man as the truth of God. If you could picture in your mind that getting at the truth of God would not be just like one combination, but if you had a combination that you had to know to open that particular door, and then behind that door was another combination, and behind that door was another combination, to get into the secret things of the Lord, you had to know to be able to get in. It'd be a pretty daunting thing, especially, again, the things of God, if they're not open unto you, it's like they're sealed and you cannot see. Before I read from Revelation chapter 8, and that will be our focus tonight, we're going to look at the first four trumpets. But I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 13 that is very pertinent to what we'll be saying this evening. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 11, actually taken up in verse 10, where the disciple said unto him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, now listen very careful to this, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." You need to know that you do not understand gospel truth because you're smarter than anyone else. It was given to you to know the combination. Getting to God and getting to understand the truths that were necessary for you to know God was a spiritual gift to you. The Lord says, "It is given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Of course, directly He's speaking to the apostles here. But in a broader application, it speaks to all Christians. For no one is saved unless they have some understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And to understand those mysteries is not a matter of intellect, high or low. It is not a matter of skill. It is not a matter of age. It is not a matter of upbringing. It is a matter of divine gift, divine revelation. "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." But notice, "but to them it is not given." Can you imagine listening to these parables and you don't have a clue to what they mean? It's a bunch of gibberish. Can you imagine what it is to sit under preaching and you really don't understand what the preaching is all about? And it means nothing more to you than if you'd sit in a classroom in Athens somewhere listening to the Greek alphabet or some other foreign language that you didn't understand anything about. Now, Jesus not only says that it's given to understand the mysteries. In verse 12, He says, listen to this statement, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given." That doesn't seem to be fair, does it? If you've got, you'll get more. This is the economy of God. If He gives you understanding and illumination, if He gives you the combination to truth, you get more of it. And that's why the Christian pilgrimage is always an expanding learning experience. We never level out as Christians and come to the place that there's no more to see, there's no more to understand, there's no more to learn. It's always a growing process. There's more to be given to us about the things of the Lord. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has." This is not the only time this is mentioned in the gospel. It seems to be a divine principle of operation. It's the way things are. It's the way things work. If you have true grace and true understanding and true insight, you get more. If you don't have, things are not only not getting better for you, they're getting darker. Did you know people in sin are not getting any more enlightened? They're actually steeping deeper into ignorance. Isn't that amazing? They're not going forward, they're going in reverse. They're not getting smarter, they're getting dumber. They're not getting more enlightened, they're getting deeper in darkness and iniquity. Whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And there, this is almost infinitesimal as far as its application. Can you think about every good thing that has ever been given to a sinner? If he goes away from God forever, having everything removed, taken from him. But he said in verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, that is, they pretend to see, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And let me tell you again, the gospel is a word to be understood. There's truth that has to be understood for you to be a Christian. You have to have some knowledge. You have to have some understanding to be right with God. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But notice in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. If there's anything that I could ask you, what you would consider to be your greatest blessing, your choice blessing that you receive of God, it would not be the fact that you're prosperous and you're making a good living. It would not be the fact that you've got reasonably good health and enjoy relatively pain-free days. The choice blessing would not be the fact that, well, I've got some of the finest friends on earth, people who really take an interest in me, and we just have a good time together. You could combine all of those outward things together and they wouldn't hold a candle to the importance of having ears to hear and eyes to see. For God to have opened your eyes to where you can see, and that is the eyes of your understanding. And I'm talking about these physical organs here. We're talking about the mind and the heart, to where you can see and perceive, and you can hear God speak in His Word. You can hear it. You can hear Him. And you can see the reality and how spiritual truth connects to your life. You can see it. That it's not just commandments, and it's not just deeds, and it's not just activity, and it's not just going to church. But you can really get a handle on the truth of God, and you can see how it fits your life. And it answers all the questions. Puts substance and importance into your life. Now, as we look, we see it. Now, I've said that in preference to the fact to show you that it is not given to all to see the truth. In fact, as we look at these trumpet judgments, we're going to behold the fact that much of the visible known world is under a judgment of God and have been placed in this precarious situation now. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, the Lord Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness, for your supposedly inspirational light is darkness. How great is that darkness? What if you were going to church
and had what you would call salvation, and that was really, and you thought it was, and it was really damnation, wouldn't that be something? And that you didn't have enough spiritual insight, you didn't have enough of the Holy Spirit of God given to you to know the difference between what was real and what was phony? The trumpet judgments deal specifically with reprobation and with a God sending upon mankind strong delusions that men who have willfully apostatized from the truth, that is, who have heard the truth and won't have the truth, don't like the truth, have been sent and will be sent alive. Now I want to read from Revelation 8. We're going to look at these trumpets. Let me begin at verse 7. By the way, I thought about, I couldn't find a skull and crossbones like the poison. But we're going to see, folks, most religious teaching is poison. What if we could see spiritually driving up on church doors of all different denominations, whether they're fringe groups or mainline denominations, and you could see right on outside the door a big skull and crossbones painted on the door and says, "What's here is poison." Would that be something? And yet, listen, we're going to see that the waters have been poisoned to a large degree. Justly so. And again, what I'm saying tonight, I hope that we all can have a little appreciation and a little deeper gratitude in our hearts for being able to hear the truth and to really hear it. Let me read, beginning at verse 7. Here's the first trumpet. "And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." And that's the first trumpet. That sure is hard on trees and grass. What if I told you it is not trees and grass that are in view? As we will see, the scriptures will interpret what this grass is and what the trees are in the fire and mingle. And by the way, if you could see this, the first trumpet here, this first statement of the first trumpet, all of the other trumpets are found in this first one. And what we're going to have in the second, third, fourth, so on, is we're going to just have more enlightenment of what is told to us in this very first one. In other words, we're not going to have a chronological display of, well, the first trumpet, it falls upon the vegetation and all the grass is burned up and the trees are burned up, and that's all. What is told to us there will be the same things that will be enlarged upon in the next trumpets. For you see, what we have here is an orchestra, that is several instruments. We're going to have finally seven trumpets, but you have one sounding, as it were, the trumpet sounding, and the sound of it is not just for a moment, but the sound of it, as it were, and the events of that trumpet will go for the entire age of the church. One instrument, but if you can imagine while the first trumpet is sounding, and this is the picture that is presented to us, it's not that the first trumpet quits sounding, it is sounding, and then the second trumpet, as it were, sounds, and then you have, again, you have a developing sound, a corresponding sound in the second trumpet. And the third trumpet sound, and so on. And the fourth trumpet sound. And they all, as it were, are sounding at the, even though the first sounds, they sound, and they go through, as it were, displaying events that will be occurring throughout the entire dispensation of the church. A unique harmony. Looky here in verse 8, the second trumpet. And the second angel sounded, added his trumpet to the first, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So we got a picture of sea life, as it were, and ships being destroyed. I'm not talking about jellyfish and tuna. Nor is it talking about tankers and cruise boats, as we will see. The third trumpet in verse 10. And the third angel sounded. You hear, again, you blending these trumpets together. The sounding. You must have been, again, hearing a harmony of sounds. And you see, with just as it is when one instrument accompanies another and it makes a melodious sound and it's harmonious. Each of these trumpets is adding to the fullness of the vision and giving us more insight, more understanding, more knowledge, more revelation of the truth. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Here's the luminaries, the sun and the moon. The third part of the moon and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Lights cut off. There's great darkness in the world. What is this? Just an eclipse of the sun and the moon? Far more than that. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. The trumpets announce distinctive particulars that are found within the seals. As I said, the seals cover Christian history, and what has been shown to us in the seals encompass what will be shown to us within the trumpets. They cover the same time frame, as it were. And from heaven's perspective, we have in view in the trumpets the whole span of church history. And although there is some definite chronological prophetic succession that can be noted, because really, in history, you have an unfolding of history, and some events do follow other events in history. For instance, the apostate church didn't become apostate immediately. It took a little while. The rise of Islam did not take place immediately, but it did come about. The prolific rise of false teachers poisoning the waters of teaching did not immediately spring forth in such abundance, but it did come. So there is some chronological division, some events following others in history. But for the most part, we see that the events of any particular trumpet is running the entire course of church history. For instance, we hear the first sounding, and the sounding of the first trumpet, as it were, echoes down through the corridors of time. The second trumpet adds its voice, as it were, to that first trumpet, giving more information, a fuller sound, more particulars. And as added instruments give richer and fuller sound, so do the successive trumpets give an enlarged explanation and more detailed revelation of the preceding trumpet's events. This is important to your interpretation. And by the way, There is too much goofy and absolute absurd interpretations of this book of Revelation that are absolutely unprofitable, and I would say heretical in themselves. It's important, folks, again, to see that what we have in the trumpets are not dislocated events that just have no connection to each other. They're all connected, and they're all telling of the same thing. All except the final trump, the last trump. What is the last trump, of course? Just as the sixth seal. The last trump corresponds to the sixth seal, which was the consummation of the age and the end of time. I see, for the most part, in much of what I read, absolutely no God-honoring interpretation. Nothing that really honors the Lord. Nothing that really edifies or profits. My friend, this goofy and sick interpretation that these events are awaiting some end-time tribulation period of history is the most absurd and blasphemous thing ever published in Christianity. We're talking about events that are going on right now. Listen, these trumpets are sounding now, as it were. The events are unfolding and have been unfolding for much of Christian history. So in viewing the trumpets, especially as literal visitations of God's wrath upon the natural elements, I'm telling you, what edification is there to think about? Well, God's wrath is going to fall on a third of the trees and the grass is going to be burned up. Isn't that nice? What in the world does that mean? What does that have to do with me? A literal interpretation is absurd. It's unbiblical. Does not meet the test of Scripture. For instance, the first plague, vegetation smitten, as I said, the trees and the green grass. The second trumpet, the seas and the ocean smitten, and a third of the sea life is seen to die, and a third of the ocean-going vessels are destroyed. So what? If it's just ships in the tribulation period, as it were, that are going down, so what? Big deal. What is a ship? Especially biblical ships in biblical times were nothing more, as most ships are, cargo carriers. They carry the goods. What does that mean? We'll see. Thirdly, the fresh land waters were smitten in the third trumpet, where a third of the rivers, a third of the springs of water were seen to be contaminated, made bitter, so that many people die because they're drinking this bitter water. You mean some star? Did you know a star is seen to fall out of heaven and poison the waters? Let me ask you, if this is literal, did you know a star in itself is usually the smallest star is several times the size of Earth? You wouldn't have a star that could hit the earth in a literal fashion, folks, and just poison a few springs. If you had a literal star that struck this planet, you'd have a destruction of the planet entirely. We're not talking about a literal star hitting the earth. And furthermore, we're not talking about literal waters and springs being polluted. We're talking about something far more serious than this, beloved. Far deeper. Then you have in the fourth trumpet, the solar system is smitten. The sun, the moon, the stars, all seem to be darkened, providing absolutely no light for a majority, not only in the daytime, but in the night as well. What in the world is that speaking of? A literal eclipse of the sun or the moon? Fifthly, you have the release of these locusts, these demon locusts that are coming out of the bottomless pit, that are plaguing and devastating mankind, that do not have. Look, as the trumpets progress, folks, it's clearer and clearer what is in view. More and more revelation is being added to show us what these plagues, these previous trumpets are all about. the release of the locusts, and we'll not get into that tonight. But here you see the smoke of a great furnace open. Hell itself, and out of this smoke, these locusts, hordes of locusts come and invade the earth. And then the sixth seal, that release of a vast Calvary-mounted army of horsemen. Terrible, destructive army sweeping over the earth, coming, as it were, from the vicinity of the Euphrates, historically Babylon. And they were ordered to kill, as it were, a third of mankind. Now, there's no question, and I would not dispute, beloved, the fact that if these were literal, actual judgments upon physical, material elements of nature, it would be a hard thing for man to endure these things. But the meaning of the trumpet judgments is far more serious, far more threatening to earth life than any natural upheavals. There's something going on in this world that's harder on mankind than floods and tornadoes and locust swarms, beloved. These trumpets are an accurate spiritual metaphorical picture of the two most disturbing phenomena to be released upon a Christ-rejecting and gospel-despising world. And they are in order. The first four is a view of apostate Christianity. The fifth and sixth is a view of the release of the Islamic curse upon the earth to judge apostate Christianity. Isn't it amazing? Apostate Christianity judges those who have rejected the truth, who desire to have a form of godliness, who desire just to have an external Christianity, who like to be Christians in name only, but their heart far from God. God sends upon them strong delusions that they should believe this lie. And then because of the idolatry and superstition and pageantry and materialism and immorality of this apostate church, God sends